Well, Nick Cully is the Managing Director of Sovereign Group Dubai. He joins us this evening to look closer at Dubai and what it takes to do business in this jurisdiction. In 2013, the South African Business Council reported that there were 234 South African companies operating in Dubai across various industries and sector. Nick, I would assume that there would be a lot more today.
The number of companies coming into Dubai over the last year or two, not just from South Africa, but from all over the world, has definitely increased. We're seeing an increase in inquiry of people looking to set up there, not necessarily just a holding entity, but for actual trading entities where they actually want to operate in the country to benefit from the, you know, the zero tax regime. I don't have the exact figures for South Africans, but yeah, I know that the South African Business Council does a lot of work in Dubai, and certainly the numbers have been increasing.
Well, Nick, apart from zero tax that you've just mentioned, and we'll explore that a little bit later on, what other reasons would people would want to do business with in Dubai?
I think from a geographical point of view, I mean, it is the hub for the Middle East. No matter what you hear or read about, Dubai is the center of business for the whole of the Middle East. With everything that's been going on with the Arab Spring and a lot of insecurity in the region, companies have decided to set up there to explore the region. You're about a 5-hour flight away from something like a third of the world's population. So from a geographical point of view, it's a great place to be. But more than that, from a personal point of view, to live there, to do business there, it is very similar to doing business in Europe, in South Africa, in other Western jurisdictions. And it's definitely managed to... It's got a very good PR machine behind it, and therefore people are quite keen to explore it, and companies that come there tend to stay there for many, many years.
Now, you mentioned zero tax. So I'm assuming that from a company tax rate perspective, you pay absolutely no tax. But then how do the Dubai authorities make money? Is there personal tax?
There's no personal tax either. I mean, they are bringing in VAT next year at a rate of 5%, which will obviously help. Sort of bringing money into the coffers, but Dubai is tax-free in every perspective, but there are lots of hidden taxes. So as an individual, we pay taxes on things like alcohol, on eating out, on hotels, a tourist tax. So that when they say it's tax-free, it is. I don't pay any income tax, I don't pay any corporate tax, but from a day-to-day point of view, you are paying sort of so-called hidden taxes.
Nick, if somebody goes about and sets up a company in Dubai today, I'm assuming there's a certain amount of time that they would be prescribed to spend on the ground in Dubai. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, if you set up a business, an onshore business in Dubai as a South African national, you get given a visa, you and your family, you can sponsor your family, so you get a residency visa, but you have to come to the country once every 6 months. So it's not too much of a hardship. If you have a business on the ground, they're not actually very strict about the business owners or the business managers being there regularly. If the business is there, they will do checks and make sure that the business is operating as it should be. But there's not actually any rules set in stone that say that you have to be there and have to be functioning. There are a lot of companies that just have a rep office there where you might just have a small serviced office, but there might not be anybody in it.
And the cost associated with something like this? I mean, a South African company today wants to go and set up an international portal and wants to utilize Dubai. What does this cost?
It really depends on what type of entity you're setting up. We have so-called free zones where you can have 100% ownership, where you're looking at spending about $10,000. If you're actually trading goods, then you need to have an onshore license, which would be anything from about $20,000, because you have to pay a local sponsor to hold a majority shareholding. So it really, there is quite a range. And obviously, if you're in some of the more prestigious free zones, then you're looking like the financial center, for example, then you're looking at paying, you know, a lot in rent, because the rents are very high.
And setting up a company in Dubai, they obviously want you to have a presence there. I mean, I'm thinking in terms of trading companies that don't really have a presence in Dubai, but wants to make sure that that it's used as a hub for their business. Do they actually physically require an actual presence in the country?
Yeah, to have a business in Dubai, you do have to have a registered office. Now, the registered office can be anything from a virtual office, or you can have a service office, and you can go through somebody like Regis Business Centers. Or you actually have to have a proper physical office with staff there. The number of staff you can employ depends on the size of the office, but they are quite strict about there being a presence. But that said, If you just want to have, as I said before, if you just want to have a rep office, they understand the need for that in many businesses, and so they're not going to stop you from doing it as long as you have a registered address, which there are many companies that can provide that.
Now, I suppose one of the questions I think listeners would have this evening is that many times South Africans look towards Mauritius as a jurisdiction to set up an international business in. How does Dubai compare with a country like Mauritius? And I suppose we have to put a place like Malta into the equation as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. I think Mauritius is also very popular in Dubai for companies looking to hold the shares offshore away from the Sharia law that we have in Dubai. Just to clarify, there is also UK common law in Dubai, but I don't think it's necessary to go into that now. But to compare, I mean, Malta we use as well as a way into Europe for obvious reasons. It's to compare them, the difference with Dubai, I think, compared to, say, Malta or Mauritius, is that it is actually a proper functioning city. No one could claim that it's offshore tax haven in the way that, say, some of the Caribbean islands would be perceived to be, because it is a functioning city with many different sectors. There are 2 million people, there's finance, there's aviation, there's a lot of different sectors that are represented in Dubai. So one of the advantages that people like is that, if you want to be able to put substance, Dubai is going to give you that, because there is a proper, there's a proper business environment, there's a proper functioning city, I suppose.
Nick, is there specific industry groupings that the Dubai authorities are interested in promoting? Shall we put it that way? Is it really open to anybody?
Yeah, no. So we work very closely with the Dubai government. We have a partnership with the FDI department of the Dubai government. And they will let us know which type of sectors that they're looking to encourage to move to Dubai. So recently we were in Shanghai in China with them, looking more at the manufacturing industry, because they're trying to, there's a lot of cheap labor in Dubai, and there's a lot of people from Asia who come and work there. So you can have a manufacturing space, for example, in Dubai, and employ people for at a much more affordable rate than you might be able to do back in Europe, for example. They are sort of sector specific in the way that they're pushing Dubai as a jurisdiction. But that said, any business it goes, really. They're not particularly picky, should I say, but they do have sectors that they definitely prioritize.
Citizenship? I'm assuming that nobody could become a citizen of the country, even though you've got business interests in the country.
No, only if you marry a local would you stand the possibility of getting a passport. But they do offer residency is very easy to get. As I said before, just if a South African wants to set up a company in Dubai, they would get residency for them and their family.
And that residency is renewable on what kind of scale?
It's renewable every 2 or 3 years, depending on which jurisdiction you set up in. And it's the only requirement is that you come to the country once every 6 months.
Yeah, and then obviously one thing that I suppose a lot of people would have to get themselves ready for is the cost of living. I mean, cost of living there must be expensive. It can't be cheap.
Cost of living is high, you're right, but salaries are high. It's just sort of, I suppose it swings in roundabouts, really. If you want to live cheaply, it is possible to do so, but rents are, I would say they're comparable with what you might get in London, but then you're not paying tax. So, you have to sort of look at the balancing act. Education is expensive. There's no free education for expats. Healthcare is expensive. There's no government hospitals that we as expats can use. But, as I said, you do receive high salaries, and the business environment is very conducive to doing business, and there is a lot of business to be had, because all these countries in the region are all sort of piling into Dubai because their home country might not be safe, it might not be secure. So there's a lot of business development going on, and it's a very easy place to actually get a network of clients and to do business.
All right. Well, thank you very much to Nick Cully. He's the MD of Sovereign Group Dubai. This is exploring a little bit more about setting up international businesses in other jurisdictions. You're listening to Classic Business.